Prabhu was also the first ISKCON president in Bombay. Started the first temple here in Bombay. Om Akyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Tadadishva Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Juta Patakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna I feel this evening very blessed to be amongst you, to speak on the subject of the power of blessings. We're very sorry we're late, but we were at Bhaktivedanta Hospital and we had some sort of minor surgeries and then we got caught in traffic. And many told, please don't go to this program. But we could not resist. Thank you for being so patient. What is a blessing? Different people have a different understanding of what really a blessing is. One time, Srila Prabhupada had just finished a lecture and he was going back into his room. No, actually, this was in an Indian train. I'm sorry. The same story, almost identical, but I'll tell this one. Prabhupada was in an Indian train, and this one man just crashed right into Prabhupada's compartment and said, Swamiji, give me your blessing. Please give me your blessing. And Prabhupada was busy doing other things. So the person just kept insisting, give me your blessings. Prabhupada got up. He followed him. Prabhupada came back. He followed him back. He said, Swamiji, please give me your blessings. Give me your blessings. And Prabhupada said, I bless you that your material life is finished. And the person literally fell to the floor and started crying, begging, Prabhupada, not that blessing. Swamiji, not that kind of blessing. He said, no, I've already blessed you. So for someone, getting a good grade on your exam is a blessing of God. Or getting a nice husband is a blessing of God. Or getting some money is a blessing of God. Actually, everything is potentially a blessing if we recognize it. If we don't recognize a blessing and reciprocate properly, what appears to be a blessing could be a curse. Yes? Sometimes you beg for some blessing that you really want, and then you get it, and it ruins your life. It happens every day. One of my god sisters, her name was Kunti Devi. She came down with malignant cancer. She had 6 months to live. She had two children. Extremely painful. And because she was looking for the divine love of God in every situation, she took her cancer to be a blessing. And she was happy. And she was growing internally. So much so, she was in a city in America that all these neighbors who were coming to say, to console her, were coming out of the room enlightened. And the word was spreading in a television station, a local news station. They did a series of shows on her where she's sitting in her wheelchair. She couldn't talk. I mean, she couldn't walk. And she's just explaining how her cancer was a blessing, how everything that comes in life is a blessing if you just recognize it. And I remember at one point, I went to visit her, and she could no longer, she had no strength to even hold a book. So someone gave her a computer with all Prabhupada, our Gurudev's books on a computer program. And she would just sit there flipping the pages with one finger going, just pressing the keyboard, going, and she had all these things supporting her back because she couldn't sit up otherwise. And she was always smiling and so happy. And she would tell me, this is such a blessing. I wouldn't trade my situation for anyone else in the whole world. It is such a blessing. Because I've never heard my Gurudev's words penetrate my heart so deeply as I am today. Every word of his books is just enlightening me. I could feel his love. I could feel his presence more than ever before. Even when I was sitting next to him. This surely is a blessing. The real blessing that the soul is looking for is the blessing of a connection with God's love. That's the highest blessing, to actually connect with the love of God. And the love of God is always, everywhere, in every situation, if we look for it. In the Christian Bible, it is said, seek and ye shall find. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that as you approach me, I will reveal myself accordingly. in the wonderful, beautiful things that come in your life, if you're looking for the love of God in that, and you're looking for the opportunity to grow, you will find it. But if you're not, then even in the most beautiful things of life, it could cause you great frustration, anxiety, and ruination. Yes? I could give too many examples, but I'm already too late. I had a friend that I grew up with, a very young boy. And later on, I heard about something that happened. Father died, left a huge inheritance. There were two sons. Each one got half. It was huge relatively to our situation. Maybe to people in Bombay, it's not so big, I don't know. But it was a lot of money. So one of the sons bought a beautiful ranch in the state of Oregon, got an airplane, made a airport in his yard, got beautiful horses to ride, built a beautiful house, married a nice lady, had children. And the other boy with the same money, it's a blessing. It's a blessing when Father gives you millions of dollars. He wanted to make it more. So he got in the wrong association and decided to invest it in cocaine. Just one time. Just buy it, sell it, triple your money. He got caught and got 40 years in prison. He's been in prison 25 years now. He's still in prison. No one can get him out. So that blessing of the fortune that he got became the greatest curse of his life. Whereas the other person, the blessing, he was thinking it was a great blessing. But later on, his wife divorced him and got everything. And he was just living in a small flat. So, which one was a better blessing? We read about Kulaveta Sridhar. He was just living very poor, just selling bananas, banana leaves, living in a little thatched hut. And Lord Chaitanya offered him any blessing. Any blessing. I'll give you wealth. I'll give you power. I'll give you mystic cities, yogic powers. I'll give you liberation. I'll give you elevation to the spiritual world. He said, I don't want any of those things. But I want to give you some blessing. Ask for something. He said, bless me that I will always see that beautiful little Nimai, you, coming to steal my bananas. Bless me to always be the servant of the servant of your servants. So every situation is potentially a blessing or a curse according to how we perceive it and according to how we respond to the situation. Divine blessing is that which connects us with the love of God. And that's always there. Just like rain. Rain falls, especially in the monsoon season in Mumbai. You can expose yourself to the rain or you can hide from the rain. Now, in this case, it's usually better to hide from the rain. But when it's the rain of blessings, we can hide from it or we can expose ourselves to it. This lady, Kunti, she was in the most painful situation. She was going to die any day. She was paralyzed from the waist down. She was emaciated. Her hair was falling out. And she was smiling. And whoever came to console her, she would end up preaching to them about how wonderful life was. And they would start telling her their problems, and she would resolve all their problems. They'd go in crying and come out smiling. How is that? Because she was looking for the blessing, even in the most unlikely place, and she found it. Not only did she found it, but she attained life's perfection in that blessing. So in our life, real wisdom is not just getting a degree. That's academic knowledge, which could be very helpful. But even that academic knowledge, it could be a blessing in our life or a curse in our life. But to see the hand of God and to see how to reciprocate with the hand of God and to be grateful. A grateful heart can recognize the blessings in everything. An ungrateful heart can never recognize any blessing and therefore cannot grow in that blessing. Gratitude is one of the most essential human virtues for real inner prosperity and real inner happiness, and especially connect us to the divine or to Krishna. There's another type of blessing which is very special. The blessing that God bestows through those who love Him. Culture is a society where people are always seeking the blessings of their elders or seniors. Now, I'm from America, the United States, in the 1960s, which is before some of you were even born. But I don't know how much you have studied American history. But in the 1960s, there was what is called a generation gap. Have you heard that before? It means a gap of miscommunication between generations. And it was at its peak at that time. Where amongst the youth, the battle cry was never trust anyone over 30. So there was not much. What to speak of ask permission from your parents? The cool thing was to sneak around them. Yes. And then I came to India. I was from a whole culture where the whole nation was like this. And I came to India and I saw young people touching the feet of their mother and father, putting it on their heads, asking for blessings. I was thinking, what kind of world is this? They're not arguing with their mother and father. They're asking for blessings. They're touching their feet. This is culture. Culture is to honor and respect teachers, parents, elders, sadhus, people who are spiritually advanced. And really what we're doing when we're respecting, it shouldn't just be a ritual. We're really seeking their blessings to guide us, to enrich us, to give us strength, to give us wisdom, to give us hope, to actually succeed in whatever we're doing in life. And that same principle of seeking blessings its origin and its perfection is from those who can give us God's blessings. And when we have the blessing of a saintly person, magic can happen in our life. But what kind of magic it is, we have to have some good spiritual education to recognize. Sometimes when we receive a blessing, everything starts going wrong. Because that's what we need to go through to grow. And sometimes everything starts going right. Today we have with us His Grace Shamsundar Prabhu. When he was the age of most all of you, he received the blessings of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Blessings in the form of Prabhupada was, he received his love, he received his prayers, he received his instructions. Those are blessings. Sometimes Prabhupada would, people would come to Prabhupada and say, please give me your blessing, please give me your blessing. Prabhupada would say, follow my instruction is my blessing. Because in following the instruction, which is Krishna's words, all blessings will come upon you. The heart blessing of person doesn't come just by demanding, give me blessing. When a person is pleased with you, they don't have to say you are blessed. When a person is pleased with you, from their heart, their affection, God's blessing pours through that. There is a beautiful verse we sing every morning. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. Yasya prasada nagati kutopi. When the guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. And all blessings of God comes if he's pleased. And if the guru's not pleased, there's no possibility of reaching, of accessing the blessings of Krishna. So by actually being serious, sincere, and not having ulterior motives, and really trying to please God and please His devotees, spontaneously and naturally, full blessings come to you. And you're actually in a consciousness to receive them. When those blessings come, that means the situation that's just perfect for you is there. It may be something very easy to attain and to fulfill, or it may be something that's very difficult. We're going to hear from Shamsundar Prabhu about how Prabhupada blessed him and those and his wife and little baby child, and how magic happened in their lives. Unbelievable things happened in their lives. But not without immense struggle. Not without unbelievable reversals. That was part of the blessing. But through it all, such miraculous results and such inner growth and love was manifesting. Just imagine, Prabhupada told them, go to London. He's going to talk about San Francisco, but before he talks about San Francisco, I want to go back. Because he said, I want to talk about San Francisco because I was the same age as these young girls when I was there. I said, London's also? He said, no, I was too old then. too old. He's supposed to, they're in the front row to protect us, actually. All these men are supposed to be our bodyguards. It's not my idea. It's the brahmacharis have appointed them.
You told me it was all ladies.
Well, everyone is ultimately female, including ourselves. Krishna is the only male. So, Prabhupada said, go to London. And London, they had no money. How they got in is unbelievable, because they needed a certain amount of money to get in London. Prabhupada lent one of them a little bit of money, and they all went to Amsterdam, and then they would show that money at the border, get into England, wire the money back to Amsterdam. The second couple would come in, show that money, get in, wire it back to the third couple. And then after they all got in, they wired it all back to Prabhupada, and they had nothing. He was living with his wife and little baby daughter in a cardboard box in the basement of a warehouse for some time. Now, you may ask, what kind of blessing is that? But he was never happier, yes? He was never happier. And he was just accepting it as a blessing and growing and growing and growing. And within a few days, he's living in the house of John Lennon. The leader of the Beatles. You've heard of the Beatles? Not the insect. It's a musical band from England. They were the most popular people in the entire Western world. Maybe India too, I don't know. But they were so... Nobody could see them. They stopped public performances because too many people were coming. They were the first musical band in history to play in a stadium. In those days, no one ever did that. And so many people were screaming, you couldn't even hear. And wherever they would go, there would be thousands and thousands and thousands of people wanting to see them and touch them. And they just decided, we'll just, you know, record in our studio and send out videos or something. Yes? So nobody could see them. And here he was, living with them. He just snuck in. He had nothing. He wasn't even supposed to be there. He snuck into some place, yes? And George Harrison comes out and says, I've been looking all over for you. And George Harrison became a devotee, his best friend. And then a few days later, they helped them make a record album. Now you have CDs. Then you used to have vinyl albums. It was... The Hare Krishna mantra was the number one song in all of Europe. Yes, and the record album was in the top 10 albums in all of Europe. Just Sanskrit hymns of devotion. How is that possible? Magic. It wasn't possible because of his brilliance or his genius. It was because he received the blessing of a great soul. And through that blessing, he blessed millions of others. The power of blessings is the power of God. The power of blessings is the power of Krishna. It's infinite, unlimited, and it's everywhere. If we just recognize it and access it with a grateful heart. And it's especially present within the heart and the prayers of great devotees. And we will hear this now from our beloved God brother, Shyam Sundar. Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. About an hour ago, and Radhanath asked me to speak, he told me that this was a meeting of young ladies between 18 and 25, so I readily volunteered. But I couldn't think of a reason why, except that maybe, or something to impart to anyone, except that maybe I experienced my best years of my life between in those years by meeting Srila Prabhupada. And maybe also because I've also raised two beautiful daughters. And I understand the problems of this age group, evidently. We all do, who grew up through 18 to 25 is a very powerful time of life, the most powerful time of life, perhaps, when all the possibilities of adulthood are there, and the energy to do anything comes with that age. The problems of learning about the world are also there, big problems. So to have the fortunate blessing, the greatest of all blessings, come to a person at that and during that age period is wonderful. It's the most important thing that can happen to anyone, to have meet some person who explains to you how and gives you the blessing how Krishna is the center of life. Once this power is given to you to put Krishna in the center of your life, all other problems are easy. They circle around this center. We were talking about what is the meaning of blessings. I think one of the meanings of blessings is that it's magic. When someone gets a blessing, they get something magic. It's something undefinable, and it's wonderful, and it happens in a magic or inexplicable way. So by meeting Srila Prabhupada, I think the most important blessing he gave us was that Krishna is in the center. Once our lives were centered on Krishna, all other problems become easy to solve. I know there are problems at this age of with friends, perhaps. Friends is one area of problematic area in this age group. When we first met Prabhupada, we suddenly had so many godbrothers and sisters. We became sort of a family. Very quickly, almost forcibly. None of these people I ever met before in my life, and I probably would never have anything to do with these people had I not met Prabhupada. But because we were all serving Prabhupada in some way, one way or another, and serving Krishna in one way or another, we became friends. We were forced to almost become friends. And we had to accept the weaknesses along with the strengths of everyone because we were all Prabhupada's servants. And the fellowship that we developed as a group in those days has lasted our whole lives. And my best friends in the whole world are still the boys and girls that grew up with me in San Francisco around Prabhupada. So friend, once you become a devotee of Krishna, you automatically, the problem of friendships is solved. You have friends automatically because you're all involved in the same activities to serve Krishna and please Prabhupada and please your spiritual master. Family, your family. I mean, Krishna consciousness, the blessing of Krishna consciousness means that you suddenly understand everything. You have all knowledge. You know how it all fits together now, the whole universe. It's easy. Oh, I'm not this body. Oh, I'm pure spirit soul. Oh, Krishna, you know, and this, you fit all the pieces together very quickly in Krishna consciousness. So the problems like family relations become easier. You understand it, that they are not their bodies. I am not theirs. I'm an independent spirit soul, but because they gave me birth, they're special people. Didn't Prabhupada say that generations would be liberated in every devotee's family? All your relatives become liberated and go to to Vaikuntha because you become a great devotee. There were lots of problems in San Francisco with in those days. The generation gap that Maharaj was talking about was very prominent. We were all young and we thought we had a separate world, very different from our parents. We were all your age, 16 to 25. Everyone, all devotees were 16 to 25. The only person we trusted over 30, and he was 30, was Jayananda Prabhu. He lived with us. So Jayananda was the old man of us. So we had, suddenly Prabhupada told us about families, how important they were, and that we should maintain our relationships with our families and try to educate them into what we were doing by serving Krishna. So I went to my parents, explained to them everything. They thought I was crazy, shaving my head, dressing in orange robes, and running around chanting this silly song all day. They thought I was nuts. Why aren't you out getting a job? Why aren't you making money? Why aren't you getting married? So I explained to them everything about Prabhupada. I invited them down. In fact, I said, I am going to get married, Mom and Dad. I have to. The Swami is making me get married. He's forcing me to marry my girlfriend. I want you to come down to the wedding. This is the first wedding in Krishna consciousness, the very first wedding Prabhupada performed in the United States. And we had this little storefront, barely big enough to turn around, 20 people to sit comfortably. And hundreds of people were jammed in there because it was advertised that this was going to be a Hindu wedding. I had no idea what to do or how to dress or how to act or anything. I invited my mother down and she came. And you have to imagine Haight-Ashbury district where Prabhupada set up the headquarters there in those days was, probably 10 square miles of young people. Everyone in that whole district was 16 to 25 years old and acting as crazy as they could, dressing like their fantasies from movies and splashing colorful things around. It was like holy every day in San Francisco. So my mother makes her way through this neighborhood, and then she comes to this little room crammed full of people and to see her son get married. And so I had a long talk with her before that this was very serious. So she came in and sat down. Srila Prabhupada came in. He had told us to get wood and dye and this and that and all kinds of things. We began, the girls who he told didn't quite understand what he was saying, so they bought all kinds of other stuff too. We had everything you can imagine from the dime stores and novelty stores there. And so he said, build a fire. So they didn't understand that it was just supposed to be little sticks. They brought big pieces of wood about this big. And had a metal basin there. And there was no ventilation in this place whatsoever except one door to come in, small door. And they started building this fire, and it got bigger and bigger, and pretty soon it was probably this high. And the whole room was becoming unbearably hot and full of smoke. And I just saw my poor little mother sitting there. She's the only one who had a chair. Everyone else was sitting on the floor, trying to understand what her son was doing. No one knew what a dhoti was or kurta yet. We didn't have the Indian dress or anything, so I was dressed in a pair of suit pants and a nice white shirt with a tie. I saw the old fellow with a tie. This is the best I ever dressed in my life. I thought my mother would be pleased. And Malati was dressed in a dress. We didn't quite know what to do. You know, he kept saying, there was a plate of rice in front of each of us, and he kept saying, throw the rice, something about throw the rice. So we thought he meant throw the rice at me. So we started throwing the rice at Prabhupada. Because in America, when you get married, you throw rice at the bride and groom. Well, this went on, and all this stuff started being thrown into the fire, and pretty soon it got heaped with things made of plastic and powders and food of all kinds. The whole place had to be evacuated. Prabhupada speeded up the whole thing, it lasted about 5 minutes. And he made me pull my shirt tail out and tie it to her dress. Anyway, that was the first Krishna conscious wedding. But my mother, she started thinking maybe my son is serious after this, and I gradually redeveloped and re-cemented our relationships. And from then on, she really started to respect Krishna consciousness. She saw when Prabhupada gave a little talk, she saw how serious and learned he was. So our problems get solved with parents, with family. They get solved with in our friendships. Education is another problem common to this age group. You know, what should I study? What should I do with my education? How much education do I need? These types of questions are always there. Prabhupada is so liberal in that respect. He knows that each person is an individual, and Krishna has given all of us, each of us, a special intelligence, whether it's as a nuclear scientist or a simple being very good at weaving garlands or something. The education required to serve Krishna, it doesn't matter. You can be the humblest gardener or the biggest executive or nuclear scientist. But education just means using knowledge to serve Krishna. So that becomes easy. Everything's centered around Krishna. Prabhupada asked me one day, he said, "You went to college?" I said, "Yes, Prabhupada, I just graduated from college last year." He said, what was your major? And I said, "Well, it's very useless. I majored in philosophy." And Prabhupada, I didn't expect he would think that was very, he says, "Oh, very nice. Very nice." He says, "Now you will come down here every morning and we will discuss philosophy. And you be the Western philosopher and I will defeat you every time." Whatever education you had, Hayagriva was a English literature major. So he had him edit his books. Whatever education you had, even just grade school education, Prabhupada pulled that out of you and gave you the blessing, the magic of being able to utilize that for Krishna's service somehow or other. So you can imagine all these young people being sucked into this vortex of Krishna consciousness. None of us had any desire to do anything but please Prabhupada. So it took care, it automatically takes care of all the problems of life. Men must be a big problem in your life right now. I mean, this is the age you start thinking about men. And men start thinking about women. These problems became easy to solve when Prabhupada came into our lives. He would say, "Are you married?" If you had a girlfriend, you'd bring your girlfriend to class. "Are you married?" "No." "Then you should get married immediately. I will marry you." And then he would ask somebody when the next free day he had. "I will marry you Wednesday." Okay. All right. Okay. So he would explain to us that it wasn't really that essential to be that life in Krishna consciousness together, a man and a woman, is built around serving Krishna. And you grow together as a couple by serving together. It's almost arbitrary in a sense, that the woman, a woman and a man marry and work in Krishna consciousness together, raising family, educating their families, and serving their spiritual master. So it became very easy for us to understand this marriage business, the opposite sex. We became pleased, so relieved, as one by one of our problems were solved in this age, this confused age of 16 to 25. Work, business, is also a big problem at this age. What should I do with my life? How should I earn money? Very easy once you become Krishna conscious. Whatever you do, you start getting the magic blessings from Krishna consciousness in your business or your work. These opportunities just as long as you don't seek them in a selfish way, opportunities come. Krishna gives you every opportunity in all aspects of life, including your business and work. Most of us didn't have jobs. We came down to San Francisco to be hippies. Hippies mean you don't have a job. But we could tell that pretty soon if we didn't get jobs, then it was going to be a very difficult time indeed. So Prabhupada encouraged us all to start working. We started getting jobs. I was a carpenter. And because I started building things of wood, Prabhupada started utilizing that ability. He says, "Oh, then can you carve me a statue?" And he showed me the Jagannath and said, "Carve me one this big." So I used my carpentry skills to carve that. Jayananda, another devotee, he was the only one who had a job for a long time. He supported the whole temple by driving a taxi. He was a college graduate, but he had a job driving a taxi. And he was the perfect taxi driver, and Prabhupada employed him to drive him all around San Francisco and show him the places of interest in San Francisco. And he would always say, "Jayananda, you know every street of San Francisco," and praise him in that way. So all of the problems of life in your age group are so easily solved once you become a devotee of Krishna. For information about how to, you know, if you have questions about how to proceed in certain directions, they're all in the books. The answers are there. Your god brothers and sisters all have knowledge. Your spiritual master is always there for guidance. It's a wonderful system and a wonderful family. It creates a life without any problems, Krishna conscious life. You're part of a large and very great and eternal secret. Once you know this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, there's nothing else to be learned. It's all there. It's all given. And so everything's been done already. Every problem is solved. So chant Hare Krishna. Come to the temple. Do things with your friends. Put on festivals. Become Krishna conscious and spread Krishna consciousness. These are the two things Prabhupada told us over and over and over again. Become yourselves Krishna conscious and spread Krishna consciousness. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
My god sister Mahamaya Devi Prabhu, would you like to give a nice message to these young ladies, please? Can you send microphone to her?
Hare Krishna. I'm very honored to be here and with all of you today. One time when I was here in Mumbai, I think it was 1975, I went on a preaching program with Srila Prabhupada, maybe 20 or 25 Western devotees. accompanied Prabhupada to someone's house. Well, it was a flat, a very large flat, a very opulent flat. And typically, Prabhupada would speak in English so we could understand. And the people that he was preaching to were educated and could speak English. But in this particular occasion, the people didn't speak English, and they requested Prabhupada to speak in Hindi. And he agreed, and he gave a lecture. And we were all sitting there trying to keep awake, because it's difficult if you don't understand a language. But in the middle of this lecture, Prabhupada said three words in English. He said, "Purify your existence." And then he went back to speaking in Hindi. And we were all looking at each other. The whole lecture was just summed up in those three words. So it's this message of bringing Krishna consciousness into your life, which I'm sure most of you are already chanting. Is that true? How many are chanting rounds on japa beads? Raise your hand. Wow. That's great. That's awesome. So this is not a new message for you. But the message that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is teaching is that this process of chanting Hare Krishna it's just the whole process. The reading the books is very helpful. Performing devotional service gives us activities to do for Krishna. But really, the process is chanting Hare Krishna. And so I guess my message to you, because I've been to many japa retreats in America where for 5 days we focus on looking at our japa and grading ourselves. We don't have to tell anybody, but we say on a scale of 0 to 10, you know, how is our job, and we write it down. You know, where 10 is like a multi-course fantastic feast, and 0 is like eating straw dust. So, you know, where is our japa? And then in the course of the 5 days, we're focusing on how to pronounce properly, how to, you know, sit properly, how to control the mind, bring it back to hearing, you know, becoming attentive. And step by step, we're making progress, chanting from the heart, and ultimately, you know, waiting for Krishna's blessings, waiting for Krishna's mercy. And in the japa retreat, we chant 64 rounds a day. We build up to that. In one day, we chant 64 rounds with a manovrata, a vow of silence. So no one can distract. We can't even distract ourselves, but no one can talk to us even during prasadam, and it's just respected by everyone to not, we can chant Hare Krishna, but no talking besides that. So it gets very clear, I got very clear that this process is simply chanting and hearing, and everything will come. And the more attentive we are in chanting, then the mercy really starts flowing. I can admit that for so many years, I had been chanting mechanical japa just because I had to. It was a duty. I had promised when I took initiation to chant 16 rounds, so I was doing it out of duty. And there's a big difference from chanting because we're relishing and appreciating and crying out for Krishna, and then the kind of mechanical japa that I had been experiencing, which is dry and forced. It's not any fun. It's not any, you're not really connecting with Krishna. So I would encourage you to speak among yourselves, to encourage each other, to improve, you know, bring your chanting up a notch. And, you know, support each other in making progress in hearing and chanting nicely. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
If anybody has questions, we'll take one or two questions.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, we heard in this lecture today that once we take up Krishna consciousness, our family and all other problems get resolved. When we begin, there are a lot of opposition we face from family because we've been brought up in some culture, and nevertheless, it's a different kind of lifestyle once we become devotees. So many people who just join, they have a lot of opposition, and they have a fear that do I really give my life to this process at the cost of my family being upset with me? So sometimes they are not understanding what choices to make. So how do we resolve this conflict in the beginning stages?
Hare Krishna. But your whole family is devotees.
I'm asking for some of my friends.
But your whole family is devotees, so it resolved everything. When Shyamasundara Prabhu explains how problems are solved when you put Krishna in the center, it doesn't mean there's no problems. Because this world is always problems. The nature of this world is imminent problems at any moment, in any place, whoever you are, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're man or woman, whether you're African American or Indian or Chinese, whatever your situation, problems will come. They must come. It's a world of problems. So how when we put Krishna or God in the center of our lives, that doesn't mean there's no more problems on this level. It means we enter into a state of consciousness beyond these problems. When we realize that I'm the eternal soul and I have an eternal relationship with God, that all of these material problems cannot affect us. They may affect us in the sense that we have to deal with them. But because we're dealing with them through knowledge and through wisdom, in the way we deal with these problems, we're actually solving the ultimate problem of life. Birth, old age, disease, and death. Yes? Srila Prabhupada was a great pure devotee, but there were so many problems he had to deal with. But he was doing it from the spiritual platform. And therefore he was always empowered by the blessings of Krishna. So as far as young people who want to become Krishna conscious and their devotees are not favorable, are you speaking about that problem?
Or no, their family situation.
Their families are not favorable. It takes a little bit of sensitivity and intelligence. Vishakha Priya Devi, when she first became a devotee, her family was extremely unfavorable, very disturbed, yes? But now, every single member is an initiated devotee. How many others like that? Much of our congregation, young people who became devotees, the first reaction is their families become very disturbed. But most of the young people, the last initiation ceremony, so many parents were taking vows.
And all of them were unfavorable. Why? Because Krishna consciousness is a very good thing. Parents love you. And therefore, they're going to be concerned if you do something different than what they don't understand. So if they're very worried about you, and they're very negative about what you're doing, it's usually an expression of their love and their real concern. So instead of fighting against them, recognize and appreciate their love and try to give them a proper understanding. Try to communicate nicely. Show them that by being a devotee, you're more respectful to them. You're living a higher moral, ethical life. You're more charitable. You're more in a mood of service to others. You have a wonderful philosophy and a wonderful love for God. And as they understand it, usually in every case, especially in India, even in America, they not only appreciate it, but their hearts change. I'm from America, and being a devotee of Krishna and wearing tilak, very, very, in India, it's not uncommon. It's just, it's not strange. It's just that they're afraid that you're doing it. But in the West, it's not only really strange, it's really strange. And increased by thousands of times that you're the fear of it, the child doing it. But you know who my father and mother, they were very worried. But I will tell you honestly, you know who my father's best friend in the whole world is now? Shamsundar Prabhu. My father calls him Sam. They're best friends, yes? They go for breakfast together whenever he's in Chicago. Always asking. They love devotees. They love Krishna. So just be sensitive. Try to understand what they're going through. If you want a person to understand what you're doing, you have to try to put yourself in their shoes to understand what they're going through because of you. You don't have to compromise your own bhakti, but just present it with sensitivity, with respect. And it works like magic. Because if you do it like that, behind you will be the power of blessings. Does that answer your question?
There's one more question. Maharaj, you mentioned that when we get blessings, many times things go wrong. So how to understand whether it is a blessing or it is a reaction of our karma and offenses?
Even the reactions of the karma and offenses are blessings. If you make the right, if you respond properly. Yes? Because if you do something wrong and then you get bad karma, that's a blessing to purify you of your past karma. If you respond by doing more bad karma, then it's as good as a curse. But if you respond by doing the right thing, then it's actually a blessing. So we require knowledge and we require guidance. Therefore, guru is very important. And sadhus, other devotees who are helping to guide you to actually transform difficult situations into blessings is very important. Does that answer the question? He also. Radharani did Devi's brother. Everyone knows Radharani Devi. She's giving the prayer, the Chaitanya lecture next month. Can you please stand up? And her mother and father, she's Radharani. Her mother is Kirtida Devi, and her father is Brishabhanu Prabhu. And they used to come to me from time to time and say, please bless our son to become a devotee. Because he doesn't like Krishna consciousness. Yes? And these people, the mother, the father, the sister, they prayed. They prayed. And through those prayers came Krishna's blessing. And on the power of those blessings, we now have His Grace, Sri Damsaka Prabhu, who is the master of ceremonies for all Radha Gopinath's events. I'm sorry to embarrass you, but it's good fun doing so.
Thank you for blessing me, Maharaj. So there are many questions, but due to the lack of time, we can't answer all of them now. But there will be devotees waiting near Srila Prabhupada there at the back of the temple to answer questions, if you have more questions. So I'd like to take this opportunity to thank His Grace Shyam Sundar Prabhu, His Grace Mahamaya Mataji, and His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj for enlightening us on this very important topic of the power of blessings. Let us express our deep gratitude by loudly chanting three times. Now we will have kirtan, so we request all the Matajis to kindly participate. Hare Krishna.
This one, Hare Krishna.
Just like to remind one last time about the Bhagavad Gita. As Mataji announced at the start,